ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् वृषावहै ॐ शान्तिशान्तिशान्तिः। So last class, we read a verse in this fourth chapter of Panchadashi, wherein how there is Dvaitam created, I mean duality created. The mind has to become functional. Mind has to become active, which means the thoughts have to arise. Thoughts, whenever the thoughts arise, then there are cognitions. Without the thoughts, without the function of mentation, then cognitions are not possible. Of course, the mind with all its thoughts is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. Without consciousness, mind with its thoughts will be as good as non-existent. So mind cannot even have the status of being existent without the blessing of consciousness. That's why we say mind is mithya, thoughts are mithya. And mind is inexplicably subtle matter. Still mind is matter because mind is object of knowledge. All the thoughts are objects of knowledge. So the thoughts, when thoughts can remain resolved or thoughts can arise, thoughts can keep changing, keep moving. So pramanaha, vritti parinamaha. Vritti parinamaha means the thoughts which arise and keep fleeting. How do we know the thoughts have risen, thoughts keep fleeting? How do we know the mind is functional? That is when cognitions are. See, the thoughts do not arise, then the mind is not functional, cognitions are not possible. So the thought arises, then consciousness is manifest. Consciousness is recognizable in the presence of thoughts. Consciousness is not recognizable in the absence of thoughts. Consciousness is always there, always present. Consciousness does not come, does not go away. But when the consciousness is recognizable, as though consciousness comes newly. When the consciousness is not recognizable, as though consciousness is not. So the recognizability, when the consciousness is recognizable, it is manifest, we think there is consciousness. The consciousness is not recognizable, even though it is present, we mistake it to be non-existent. So non-recognizability is mistaken for non-existence. That is why in dead bodies and all, we think there is no consciousness. That is why we think in inert non-living things, we think consciousness is not there. We think there's no consciousness and a part of non-living things. In fact, there's no place, no time, no object, nowhere consciousness is not. Because consciousness is the abstract, subtlest, absolute reality which is there always, everywhere. Even when the time and space is not there, consciousness is always there. So, what I want to say here is, the thoughts have to arise, mind has to be functional for this consciousness to become recognizable, to become manifest. Being manifest means being recognizable. So with thoughts are the manifestation of consciousness, then we say there is cognition. And the first and the foremost of the cognitions is this aham, I cognition. I cognition is actually the cognition because of the presence of which the cognition of the existence of the self itself is possible. So these thoughts arise and there is manifestation of consciousness. So there are thoughts which arise and which illumine the sense powers, and through the sense powers they also illumine the external objects. They go out, they pervade the external objects, and then the perception takes place, then there's a cognition of a given object perceived through any sense organ. The cognition of light, cognition of sound, cognition of taste and cognition of smell, etc. And also cognitions but different, again the variety of sounds, variety of forms, variety of things. So there are cognitions pertaining to the variety of objects also. Then there is perception of the external world. So what Vidyarana Swami made us to understand in the previous verses, the external world of objects always exists. There's never a time the world disappears. The external world always exists. Consciousness always exists. Nothing comes and nothing goes. Nothing appears and nothing disappears. But it's as though there is a disappearance of the world, as this appearance of the world, it is purely because the external world is not interacted with. The external world is interacted with only when the external world is perceived. The external world needs to be perceived for the world to have the status of being existent, then to be interacted with. The perceived world which is interacted with is not the actually external world, it's the world which is in the form of thoughts in our own minds. Antara prapanchaha. There's a bahya prapanchaha, there is antara prapanchaha. There's external world of objects. When is this external world not there? Including our body, mind, sense complex. The world is always there. But when does this world enjoy the status of being existent? When does this world lose its status of being existent? If the mind is functional, the world enjoys the status of being existent. When the mind is non-functional, the world loses its status of being existent. That we know very well. When you fall asleep, in deep sleep state, the thoughts are not there, The mind is non-functional. The external world does appear exist or not. The external world does exist. But still, the external world is as good as non-existent for the person who is fast asleep. Why? The world doesn't exist for him. Because the world has lost its status of being existent for the person who is asleep. Because the world is not perceived. So world is not created at all. Time is not created. Space is not created. The world is not created. Nothing is created. The time and space with all the forms, names and function which exist within the realm of time and space is always existent. But there is a time it loses its status of being existent. There's a time it enjoys the status of being existent. And that status of being existent is only when the mind is functional. Which means the world is dependent on perception for its very existence. To have the status of being existent, the world has to be perceived for it to be cognized. If the world is cognized, then the world enjoys its status of being existent. For the world to be cognized, the world needs to be perceived. Perception must take place. The perception to take place, the sense powers must be functional. The sense powers must be functional for which the thoughts must arise. Mind must be functional. Thoughts arise, and through the sense powers, thoughts do travel, thoughts perceive, pervade the corresponding objects, thoughts illumine those objects, and the perception, that's how perception takes place. Thoughts are perceived, then there are cognitions, relevant cognitions of objects which are perceived. Therefore, we understand without the mind, the world loses its status of being existent. So that is why we always say the world can keep be your companion. The world can hold your attention. The world can keep any individual occupied and engaged as long as the mind is functional. The mind is not there and the world will be deprived of the company of the world. So that's why mind is manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Means without the mind, there is no perception, there is no cognition, there is no enjoyment, there is no experience of the world. The one thing. Another important thing I want to tell you before I go to this class is, if you ask who was the world becomes known, the world becomes experienced, because of the presence of the experiencer knower. If there's no knower experiencer, there cannot be the known or the experienced world. How can there be the known world or experienced world without the experiencer knower? There must be knower. Only then there can be the known. There must be the experiencer. Only then there can be the experienced world. So we say, who is the experiencer? Who is the knower? So knower alone is said to be illuminator. In fact, illumination is nothing but knowing is illumining. Knowing is illumining. Knowing is illumining. Knowing, experiencing is illumining. Knowing is illumining. Therefore, knower is the illuminator. Experiencer is the illuminator of the world. So who is the illuminator of the world? Who is the knower of the world? We say absolutely the knower is, the illuminator is consciousness. I'm very careful in my sentences. I do not say consciousness is the illuminator, but I'm saying the illuminator, the knower is consciousness. Absolutely. But now the question is, the consciousness is timeless reality, always there. The world also is always there. But still, world, there's a time the world is not known. And even the consciousness loses the status of being the illuminator of the world. The knower status is not there for consciousness always. As a knower of the world, illuminator of the world. That illuminator status, knower status, attributed to consciousness also is not possible when the world is not known. Therefore, why? Consciousness is always there, world is always there, but still, if the absolute illuminator is there, illumined world also always there, but still, why then the world loses its status of being the known, then why the consciousness loses the status of being the illuminator always? Not there. Which means, even though the absolutely illuminator knower experiences his consciousness, even though the world is ultimately illumined by the consciousness, in between, there is something called mind is important. So mind, consciousness does not directly illumine the external world. But remember this. Does not directly illumine, does not directly know the external world. Only through the mind. That's why mind is this said to be the manifesting medium of consciousness. Mind is the unique instrument. Therefore we say, what is that which actually illumines the world? It is the mind. Mind is the illuminator of the world. In fact, the illuminator of the external world is the mind. An illuminator of the mind is consciousness. But without the blessing of consciousness, mind cannot have the status of being the illuminator. The mind which is dependent on consciousness for very existence, the mind which is dependent on consciousness for its very sentiency, has the status of being the illuminator because of the blessing of consciousness. The mind, the inert, is an insentient mind becomes conscious and sentient. Thereby, it has the capability, it has the capacity to illumine. Therefore, we say mind, the illuminator of the external world is the mind. So mind is relative illuminator. With consciousness is not the illuminator of the world. But without consciousness, the mind cannot illumine the world. Therefore, the absolutely, ultimately, the illuminator of everything is consciousness. But relatively, the illuminator of the world is the mind. The two illuminators, mind and consciousness. Mind is relative, illuminated. Consciousness is the absolute illuminator is consciousness. So I gave this example many times before when I was teaching other things. So I wanted to remember again. If this Pujya Swamiji's example, if there is a room or a house, in fact to know such houses you must go to some place like Rishikesh where the building is a stone building. no window anywhere. There's no window. The rooms, the buildings are stone buildings. The stones are laid to construct the whole building. There's no window, no way the light can enter into those rooms. After construction, we see the whole house, the whole room, the big hall is completely in darkness. Even the scorching sun outside, the brilliant blazing sun outside, in the room, inside the room, there is pitch darkness because light cannot penetrate into those houses. Sun is outside, the amazing great illuminator is outside. In spite of the existence of the sun, the rooms, the buildings are in pitch darkness because the sunlight cannot penetrate through the stone walls. And even not, doesn't need to be stone walls, in a brick walls, for example, the no window, it has no window. If you put the curtain, it becomes bin, light cannot go. The room becomes dark. So the no window, no entrance, light cannot penetrate means the house is dark. But how to bring the externally existing, how to bring the sunlight, how to make use of the sunlight to illumine the dark room, dark house? How to dispel the darkness which pervades the room? With the help of the sunlight, available sunlight. The only way is there is an entrance, the house, the room has an entrance. In front of the entrance, keep one big mirror. This, which in keeping the size of the entrance, in matching the entrance size, if we keep a big mirror, then the sun, if the mirror is kept in sunlight, the mirror reflects the sunlight. The mirror is kept in front of the entrance of the house, and the sunlight reflected in the mirror illumines the dark room. Dark room becomes bright. The dark room becomes no more dark room. The dark room becomes illumined room. Now, there's the room is bright. Room is no more dark. There is light. And who is or what is the illuminator of the dark room? What is it which converted the dark room into a bright room? No more dark. The dark room has become bright room because the room, the darkness has been dispelled. The darkness has been removed. What is that which illumined that dark room? It is the sunlight, reflected sunlight. Sunlight reflected. The sun mirror alone illumined the dark room. Therefore, actually speaking, the sun was already there, but sun did not illumine the dark room. Actually, illuminator of the dark room is the mirror. Mirror is the direct illuminator of the dark room. I'm sure you're understanding what I'm saying. The mirror is the illuminator of the dark room. But now the question is, if there is no sun in darkness, if there's no, in the night time, if we keep the mirror, mirror itself will be covered in darkness. The night time, when there's no sunlight, mirror kept in front of the eyes will be covered in darkness along with the room, along with the house, along with the dark room, the building. Which means the mirror does not have its own luminosity. The mirror does not have the capacity to illumine by itself. For the mirror to shine, for the mirror to be illumined, And for the mirror to have the, to reflect, to have the capacity to reflect the sunlight, thereby for the mirror to have the status of being the illuminator of the dark room, the mirror is dependent on sunlight. Mirror is dependent on the sunlight for it to become illumined. For the mirror to have the status of being the mirror, for the mirror to have the status of being illuminated, for the mirror to come to light for it, by itself, mirror is dependent on sunlight. But mirror has the capacity to reflect the sunlight because of its transparency. And mirror has the status of being illuminator of the dark room only in the presence of the sunlight. Isn't true? So here, who is the illuminator of the dark room? Definitely mirror is the illuminator of the dark room, is nothing but the mirror, no doubt. But the mirror by itself is incapable of becoming the illuminator of the dark room. Mirror is dependent on the sunlight for it to become the illuminator. Therefore, absolutely, the illuminator is the sun. Even though sun does not illumine the dark room. But the mirror is only relative illuminator. Who is capable of shining, who is capable of lending light to the world, light to the dark room, because of the blessing of Surya Bhagavan. Similarly, we just understand, say, don't stretch too much, understand the what the example. Our mind is like the mirror. Our mind is like the mirror. And here, consciousness is like the sun. Sun is, no? And the dark, the whole world is like the dark room. The whole world is like the dark room. Consciousness is always there. The world is always there. But still, the world remains covered in darkness of ignorance. There is a time the world remains covered in darkness of ignorance. The world loses its status of being existent. Even the absolute reality consciousness loses its status of being illuminated. Because the consciousness has to become manifest for it to have the status of being the illuminator. Knower. And the illuminator, even though consciousness is of the reality, is of the nature of knowing, still the knower status is lost when there is no mind in between. So the mind, that's why mind is the illuminator of the external world. But mind by itself is inert. Mind along with the world, mind itself will be covered in darkness of ignorance without the consciousness. So the mind which shines, it becomes conscious and sentient, which becomes capable of illuminating the world in the presence of consciousness. The blessing of consciousness is the illuminator of the world. Therefore, there's a world outside which is illumined by the mind, the thoughts. And the thoughts and the cognitions pertaining to the cognitions of the external objects. Whatever is perceived outside, and there is corresponding cognitions of the external world of objects. And those cognitions are obtaining in the form of thoughts are illumined by consciousness. Therefore, mind is Sakshi Pratyaksha. Mind is illumined by Sakshi. and the world is illumined by the thoughts. We have relative illuminator called mind, and we have the absolute, the illuminator of the world is absolutely the consciousness. Atma Brahma. That is why we always attribute another expression, Jyotihi, Paranjyotihi. Consciousness is a Paranjyoti, absolute light, because of the presence of which the mind shines, and through the mind the world shines. When we perceive the object as the object, it is Ishvara Srishti. If the object is distorted and seen differently, it is Jiva Srishti. A value is added to an object. A value is reduced to an object. That is Jiva Srishti. So here, let us see this. I want to give you this basic understanding before I go to the next, because some of you have joined newly, that's why. You see 31st verse. Satyevam vishayau dvau staha ghatau mrinmaya dhimayau mrinmayo maname yasyat sakshi bhasyastu dhimayaha. So we saw this verse last week. There are two, when we see, when there is perception of a pot, definitely there are two parts. One is a clay pot which exists externally, and there is a pot in the form of a thought pot. So dhimayaha ghataha means there is a thought which has assumed the form of a pot in the mind, and there is a pot outside. Without the thought, pot thought in the mind, the pot outside will be as good as non-existent. The external pot enjoys the status of being existent because there is a pot thought. So what is inside alone, you can see outside. You don't see what is outside. What is inside alone, you can see outside. Even if something is outside, even if there is a pot outside, it has no pot, cognition is not there, that pot will be non-existent. If outside also there is no pot at all, then there is no pot cognition possible, isn't it? But even if the pot is outside, if the pot cognition is not there, that pot is non-existent. Suppose if there's outside, what is rope? But that rope is perceived in perception as a snake. What is outside is pot. If the pot is seen as pot, it is Ishvara Srishti. And the pot is outside. A thought illumines the pot. There is a pot cognition. A pot cognition, pot is, that thought is illumined by consciousness. That Sakshi Pratyaksha. Sakshi Bhasyaha. Sakshi Bhasyaha means Vrittihi Sakshi Bhasya. A thought is illumined by consciousness. A pot thought is illumined by consciousness, which means the knower of the pot thought is consciousness. The illuminator of the pot outside is the thought, the vritti. So vritti bhasyaha ghataha, the pot outside is illumined by the thought, and the pot thought is illumined by consciousness. That is how there is knowledge, cognition. And here, similarly, if there's a rope outside, and if the perception instead of rope cognition, if it's a snake cognition, and that snake cognition is illumined by what? Consciousness. And then, therefore the world, so what is that world we are interacting with? We're actually not interacting with the world which is outside. We're actually interacting with the world which is in the form of thoughts. Always our interaction with the external world is through the interaction with the world in the mind. Therefore, very important. Why? If it is not true, then when there is a rope outside, the rope is perceived as a snake, and there's a snake cognition, and there's a fear comes. Why there's a fear? The interaction is with the external world, then there would not have been fear. The interaction is with the internal world, that is where there is fear. That externally nothing can be changed. The rope does not become a snake. The snake does not become a rope. Rope is a rope, snake is a snake. But here, the fear comes when the rope is perceived as a snake. Which means our interaction is not with the external world. The world we interact with as an external world is actually the internal world. Is it clear? The world we interact with always as an external world is actually the world which is in our own mind. The world, what we are dealing with, interacting with, doing things, everything is with the world which is in our mind. Antahkaranam. This amazing fact. Isn't it wonderful to know this? That the world, we think we're interacting with the external world. The world is outside, no doubt. The external world means what? The external world, external to the physical body, actually does not exist outside of our minds. That is why in Dakshinamurti Stotram, the first verse, Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam pashyannatmani mayaya bahiribodhotai yathanidraya. Dakshinamurti Stotram, we should redo again. I want you to have thorough. I want to memorize Dakshinamurti Stotra. We have to memorize. And our chanting, we take it up to memorize. And show the meaning also. So, Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam. It means, it is like, just as the city, which is reflected in the mirror, the whole universe, which is reflected in your own mind, we are interacting with. There's no, we are never, never interacting with the external world at all. The world which seems to be external is interacted with only in your own mind, which is in the form of thoughts, the thought world, mind world. That is what is said here. Mrinmayaha ghataha, then vrittimayaha, no, maname, so satyavam, mrinmaya dhimayo, dhimaya ghataha. Dhimaya ghataha means the pot obtaining in the form of a thought. Mrinmayaha means the thought pot which exists outside, external to the sense organ. And here, two thoughts are there, but the mrinmayaha, the clay pot, which is external to the sense organ, is illumined by the thought, whereas the thought obtaining in the thought, the part obtaining of a thought is illumined by Sakshi, the consciousness. Sakshi bhasyaha dhimayaha ghataha. The part obtaining in the form of a thought is illumined by consciousness, Sakshi. The pot obtaining of pot obtaining externally, the clay pot is illumined by the mind, Manameyaha. Okay, now we'll go to next verse. Anvaya Vyatirekabhyam ధీమయ జీవ బంధకృత్ అన్వయ వ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం ధీమయ జీవ బంధకృత్ సత్యస్మిన్ సుఖ దుఃఖే స్తః సత్యస్మిన్ సుఖ దుఃఖే స్తః తస్మిన్ అసతి నద్వయం తస్మిన్ అసతి నద్వయం అన్వయ వ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం అన్వయ వ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం ధీమయో జీవ బంధకృత్ ధీమయో జీవ బంధకృత్ సత్యస్మిన్ సుఖ దుఃఖే స్తః తస్మిన్ నసతి నద్వయం తస్మిన్ నసతి నద్వయం So now the question is, what is that which is the, which world is cause of our samsara? Bandhakrite, what causes the samsara? What causes the experience of pairs of opposites? Why do we go through pairs of opposites? Sukham, dukkham. Pleasure, pain, loss, gain, heat and cold, loss and gain, success and failure, this experience of going through the experience of desirable, undesirable, pairs of opposites is experience of samsara. Bandha, bondage. Going through the pairs of opposites is actually experience of samsara is going through having bondage, being bound. So being subject to pairs of opposites is being bound. And being subject to pairs of opposites means going through pairs of opposites, which is samsara bandha. What is this bandhakrita? What actually causes this bondage? Bandham karoti iti bandhakrit. That which causes bondage is bandhakrit. What is bandhakrit now? Is the external world bandhakrit or the internal world bandhakrit? Does the world existing in your thoughts, is the thought world bandhakrit or the external elemental world bandhakrit? Which world causes the bondage? No. Shastra makes it very clear, external world is not at all responsible for your bondage. External world just is external world. External world, which is Ishvara Srishtam Jagat, external world is not the source of happiness, is not at all responsible for your unhappiness. Sukhasya karanam na, dukkhasya vapi karanam na. Bahya prapanchaha, external world is neither the source of happiness nor is it responsible for your unhappiness. Sukham va dukkham va. Sukadukkayoho karanam natu jagat. External world is not at all responsible for your unhappiness, is not the source of happiness also, means the sukadukka anubhava is not because of the external world. Therefore, bahya prapanchaha Ishvara Srishtam jagat, Ishvara Srishtam dvaitam is not source of unhappiness, means is not responsible for bondage. Bondage is not caused by external world. That is made very clear. Bondage is not caused by external world. If then there is bondage, we do go through the pairs of opposites. We do become subject to the pairs of opposites. We are bound by these pairs of opposites. Experience of pairs of opposites, which means there is samsaraha, there is bondage. The samsara bondage is caused by the thought world, your own mind created world. Okay, the world perceived in your mind is responsible for your samsara. That is what is said here. How is it said? Dhimayaha jiva bandhakrita. Dhimayaha prapanchaha jiva bandhakrita. What binds the jiva? What causes samsara for an individual? Is this mind in the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts in your own mind? Dhimayaha means thought, the world obtaining in the form of thoughts in your own mind causes bondage. Dhimayaha jiva bandhakrita. Sati asmin. When this jiva bandhakrita, dhimayaha, when this internal thought world is sati asmin, means sati asmin, in the presence of the thought world, in the presence of the world obtaining in the form of thoughts, sukha dukkhe staha, experience of pleasure and pain is sukha dukkhe staha, sukham cha dukkham cha sukha dukkhe dual. Sukha dukkhe staha, sukham asti dukkham asti. Sukha dukkhe staha, there is pain and pleasure. There is experience of pain and pleasure only when there is a thought world. The thought world is not there, then there is no pain and pleasure. The thought world is there, there is pain and pleasure. Sati asmin. Asmin sati means when this thought world is there, the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is, then there is experience of pairs of opposites, then there is experience of, then there is samsara, there is a, then limitations, bondage. Then tasmin asati, when the thought world, when the world obtaining in the form of thoughts, the internal world in the form of thoughts is not there, asati, okay, in grammar we say sati saptami. When the internal thought world is not there, the world obtaining of thoughts is not there, then there is nadvayam, there is no jiva srishta dvaitam, there is no perception of duality. Jiva srishta dvaitam is not there, then there is no bondage. There is no experience of pairs of opposites. So, it's called Anvaya Vyatireka. Anvaya Vyatireka means what? I tell you. If, see, good health is no suffering. Good health is there, there's no suffering. This is Anvaya. Good health is not, there is suffering. That is Vyatireka. Similarly, we say Anvaya Vyatireka. If this is there, that is there. If it is not there, it is not there. Money is, happiness is. Money is not, happiness is not. Health is, joy is. Health is not, there's no joy. If this is, this is. So if the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is, then there is samsara. The internal world of thoughts is not, then there is no samsara. Asati, sati. Sati. First see, sati asmin. Satyasmin. Yan sandhi. Yesterday I taught you. Yan sandhi. Sati asmin. Break it. Sati asmin. Satyasmin. Means, if or when the world, external world obtaining in the, when the thought world, the world, the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is, then there is experience of pairs of opposites. Sukadukke staha. Sati asmin sukadukke staha. Tasmin asati. Asmin sati sukadukke staha. Asmin asati sukadukke na staha. Asmin asati. I can say tasmin asati. Sati asmin sukadukke staha. Tasmin asati na dvayam. Na dvayam means there's no experience of duality. There's no experience of pairs of opposites. If there is an internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts, then there is experience of duality, experience of pairs of opposites. The internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is not, then there is no experience of duality. Then there is no experience of pairs of opposites. Sati asmin sukadukke staha. Tasmin asati. Asati when it is not. Sati when it is. Asati when it is not. Sati asati. Irikkindra podu illada podu. Sati when it is. Asati when it is not. When it is, there is sukadukke staha. There's experience of pairs of opposites. Tasmin asati. When that is not, then there is no experience of duality. Experience of pairs of opposites. When it is, when it is, when that is not, what is that? Which is not, which is, you know, when the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is, then there is experience of pairs of opposites. When the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is not, there is no experience of pairs of opposites. There is no duality. There is no duality. I'll call you later, I'm in the class. Okay, there is no duality. That's very made very clear. Sati asmin sukadukke staha. Tasmin asati nadvayam. This is called what? Anvaya vyatireka. If there's internal thought world, internal world of thoughts, then there is pairs of experience of pairs of opposites. If there's no, or when there is no internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts, then there is no experience of duality. It's called Anvaya Vyatireka. Is it clear? So Anvaya Vyatireka Abhyam Dhimayaha Jiva Bandha Krita. That is explained. So the external world, what does it mean? So we have to be very, very clear now. The world outside is not at all responsible for samsara. So we need not undo the duality. We cannot undo the perception of duality. We cannot undo the perception of the external world. We cannot undo, we need not undo the perception of duality. The external world is fine. No problem. So what is it which causes the samsara is the internal world, the perceived world, obtaining the external world perceived and obtaining in the thoughts, the internal world is the causes the samsara, which means the internal world also will not cause samsara if what is outside is perceived exactly as it is. Why there is the perceived world differs from the world that is actually? What is difference? That's what finally he's going to take us gradually. That's why Pujya Swamiji used to say, any effort we make to change the world outside will be vain effort. The whole world wants to bring world peace. What do they want to do? People, many organizations working for world peace. When Swamiji was invited to attend these world conferences for world peace, Swamiji refused to attend sometimes. And I remember him saying, "Where is the world peace? These fellows are holding on to their own strong views and they want to establish their views. And then this is not the conference. This conference will not take us any distance from where we are. The world is so beautiful and wonderful. We need not do anything outside. The world is okay. We don't need to work for world peace. One has to discover peace, you know, first of all in one's own mind. The world is peaceful. If you are peaceful, you can see the whole world is peaceful. If you are restless, agitated, the whole world is agitated for you. Agitating world. I mean, the world is okay. You have to take care of yourself. You are sinking. You uplift yourself first from getting sunk and don't worry about, you know, giving hand to other person who is sinking. You are sinking yourself. How can you uplift other person from sinking? It means the idea is we need not correct, change anything outside. All we need to change is we have to take care of is the correction of error in our perception of the external world. And the correction is possible only the correction begins from our own, the perception of the very self. The correction of the error in perception of the self will result in the correction of the error in the perception of the world. Then we need, without undoing the duality, we cannot undo the duality. In spite of the perception of duality, we can understand what is absolutely real is the non-duality of the reality. Reality being non-dual has to be understood. Reality being non-dual has to be understood. Then the perception of duality being mithya will be very clear. Without undoing, changing anything outside or inside, we need not change ourselves, nor do we need to change the world. We only need to change our perspective of the self and the world. Okay, so we'll see that now. Anvaya vyatire kabhyam dhimayo jiva bandhakrit. Satyasmin suka dukhe staha tasmin nasati nadvayam. That's true, isn't it? The internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is not there, then there is no experience of pairs of opposites. The internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is only then there is experience of pairs of opposites. How do we know? Even in sleep, for example, let us understand before even jnanam, you can understand this fact. In sleep, there is no internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts in deep sleep state. There is external world when you are fast asleep. There is external world. Even it is as good as non-existent for you. But what is not there in deep sleep state is the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is not there in deep sleep state. When somebody faints, somebody is in deep, in samadhi meditation, the whole world disappears for the person who is in samadhi. And the samadhi experience also is like a deep sleep state experience. Or the person who is not alive until he is born, and then in death, in samadhi, and in also in sleep, the world disappears. The world doesn't disappear, the external world does continue to exist. You are there, the world is there. What is not there in sleep and samadhi is, Mahapralaya and Pralaya is, the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is not there. Therefore, there is no experience of pairs of opposites. External world, in spite of the external world being there, there is no experience of pairs of opposites. Is it? Do you go through pain and pleasure in deep sleep state? No. Do you, suppose the person who is in meditation, who is in samadhi, he doesn't have experience of pairs of opposites. The person who is not, who is after death, until he is born, for him there is no experience of pairs of opposites. In Mahapralaya, there is no experience of pairs of opposites. Why? Because in sleep, in samadhi, and also in death, there is no experience of pairs of opposites because there is no external world. External world is still there. Only there is no internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts. So from this, what is the lesson we learn? The external world, which is always there, is not responsible for our samsara. Does not cause bondage. It is the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts. Only when it is there, there is experience of pairs of opposites. Tasmin nasati nadvayam. Asmin sati sukadukhe staha. Very clear, isn't it? So we'll make it go to the next word, next verse. So we're going to gradually understand this. Asatya pitcha bahyarthe. Now he again reinforces what has been understood already. Please listen. Asatya pitcha bahyarthe. Asatya pitcha. Asatya pitcha bahyarthe. Asatya picha bahyarthe swapnadau badhyate naraha. Asatya picha bahyarthe. Asatya picha bahyarthe swapnadau badhyate naraha. Swapnadau badhyate naraha. Samadhi supti murchasu. Samadhi supti murchasu. Satya pyasminna badhyate. Satya pyasminna badhyate. Asatya picha bahyarthe. Swapnadau badhyate naraha. Samadhi supti timurchasu satyapyasminna badhyate. Okay. Now, see, just to establish the fact that the external world is not at all responsible for our bondage, It is the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is responsible for our bondage. Manaha eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Your bondage is because of the mind projected world, mind created thought world. The bondage is not at all caused by the external world, is a fact. And to re-establish this fact, again now his Vidyaranyaswami says, Bahyarthe asati api. Naraha badhyate swapnado. See what happens in deep, in dream, when the dream state, swapna ado, in dream, etc. In dream, what happens? In dream, no, swapna ado means in dream, etc. In dream, there's a dream world. In when we are experiencing the dream world, there is no, isn't it? There's no external world. When we are experiencing the dream world, there is a world experienced. There is the experience of the world, but there's no external world. Bahyartha means external world. Bahya artha. Bahya artha here means external world of objects is bahya artha. Bahyartha, external world of objects. Bahyarthe asati api. For a person who is in dream, there is no external world of objects. For a person who is in dream, there is no external world of objects. Bahyarthe asati. Why? Because he is experiencing dream world. Bahyarthe asati api. E asati api is again, this is sati saptami, which means even though there is no external world for the person who is in dream, there is only dream world for the person. Swapnado badhyate naraha. Still man is bound in dream. Swapnado naraha badhyate. Man is bound in dream. Man is bound in dream means what? Man is bound in dream means still there is a notion I am suffering. You are a dream in dream, you are a dream sufferer. I'm a sufferer, and then you go through pairs of opposites. In dream, the dream thief is chasing you, the dream wealth is stolen by your dream thief, and you have the pain of having, dream pain of having lost your money in dream. No, and then in dream you have dream samakhek, and you have dream medicine, and you dream suffering. And dream dukkham, you dream lamentation. So in dream, we have dream pairs of opposites. And as long as you are in dream, for the dreamer, the dream world is real. It means the dream, all in dream also, you go through dream samsara, dream bondage. You go through dream pairs of opposites. Even though the external world is not existent, the external world doesn't seem to be existent for the person who is in dream, still the dream world he goes through samsara, which means samsara is caused by external world or the dream world. The samsara is not caused by the external world. Samsara is caused by the thought projected world. Is it clear? Idea is just to say the external world, Ishwara Srishtam Jagati, is not does not cause samsara. Because we sometimes we forget, we want to change the world, want to correct the world, we want to bring about changes in the world for our peace and happiness. All our efforts will be vain efforts. Just to stop that, to correct the error in our perception, the Shastram has to teach us, make us understand this fact. It's all, it, so many times the same things are repeated. Sometimes they seem, you all seem to be knowing already. Oh, it's all already understand. I don't need to know this. I want to know something. I want to go further again fast. But Shastram takes its own time. Acharyas take their own time to convince you of the fact. What is the fact has to be, you have to be convinced of the fact. Because there must be understanding of the fact. If they repeat again and again, what is the lesson here? See, we need not do anything in the world. We need not correct the world, change the world. Leave the external world as it is. Leave people outside, behave outside, everything outside. We don't need to worry about that. Our moksha, our happiness, our peace is not in doing something to do with the world. Because the world is not at all responsible for your bondage. Understand? But means the thought created internal world alone is responsible for your bondage. And for which he gives another example. Even in a person is in dream, etc., when the external world does not appear, still the person goes through samsara. Even without the external world also, the person goes through samsara, but there is a dream suffering, the dream pain. That's why we always say, we grow through prarabdha. Our prabala prarabdha, strongest prarabdha is exhausted in waking state. Our weak prarabdha, bad prarabdha, weak prarabdha is exhausted in dream world. When the dream suffering also is exhaustion of some weak prarabdha palamoli. Whether you go to suffer in dream or in waking, any suffering is exhaustion of your some pap palam. Why you have dream, bad dreams, and why you suffer dream, sometimes we suffer dream pain, dream loss, dream agony. In dream also we suffer. That is also exhaustion of some weak prarabdha palam only. No experience, sukha-dukkha experience is possible without your papa karma. Okay, the papa karma is very strong papa karma. You exhaust papa karma by suffering in waking state. We are very weak papa karma. Then you exhaust the parabdha in your dream. Understand? So we, any experience, whether dream experience or waking experience, waking sukha-dukkam or dream sukha-dukkam, dream pairs of opposites or waking pairs of opposites, are all exhaustion of your parabdha karma phalam. But anyway, what he wants to say, in dream also, even without the external world being, without perceiving, seeing external world also, in dream we go through suffering without the external world. Asati bahyarte. When the external world is not there for the person who is in dream, still he goes through samsara. How? Only the mind thought projected dream world. Which means, again the fact is established, the external world is not responsible for samsara. The internal world, obtaining in the form of thoughts, causes samsara. That is the fact re-established. Swapnado badhyate naraha. Now he says, samadhi susupti murchasu. Satyapi asmin na badhyate. So even when the external world is not there, still the person is bound in dream experience. The mind created world. Because the mind created world. Samadhau. When a person is in samadhi, the person who is given to the discipline of meditation and who has samadhi experience. Samadhi experience means having the whole world dissolved. All the thoughts pertaining to the world are resolved in samadhi. So in samadhi, for the person who is in samadhi, the external world doesn't exist. Even then, the person, there's no internal world. Neither the external world nor the internal world. So the internal world is not there. The person who is in samadhi, the internal world is not there. What happens for him? The external world is there, but still the internal world is not there. The thoughts pertaining to the world are not there. Therefore, for him, there is no bond. There is no sukha dukkha anubhava. For the person who is fast asleep, the external world is still there, but still the thoughts pertaining to the world are not there. The person who, so suptihi means sleep. But the person who is in sleep, for him, supti, samadhi means the state of mind a person has in meditation. Then supti, the person whose mind is in deep sleep state. And murcha, when the person faints. Whenever somebody faints, then the mind is non-functional. In sleep, the mind is non-functional. In samadhi, mind is non-functional in the sense all the thoughts are resolved. In sleep, in faint, in samadhi, all the thoughts pertaining to the world are resolved. Samadhi, suptihi, murcha. Murcha means fainting. When a person faints, the thoughts pertaining to the external world resolve. For a very short time. In sleep, thoughts pertaining to the external world are resolved. Also in samadhi, thoughts pertaining to the external world are resolved. When the thoughts pertaining to the external world are resolved, which means there's no inner internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts. When they are not there, even though there is external world always, still a person is not bound. A person is not na badhyate. A person is not bound. A person is not bound means the person is free from the pairs of opposites. The person is not subject to pairs of opposites. The person does not go through desirable, undesirable situations. There is no experience of pairs of opposites. See, going through pairs of opposites, becoming subject to pairs of opposites is becoming subject to samsara. Bondage. There's no bondage in deep sleep state. There's no bondage. You are free in deep sleep state. When somebody faints, the person becomes free. The person is free even when he is in samadhi. We call temporary freedom. Samadhi is a temporary freedom. Samadhi experience is temporary freedom. Deep sleep state is a temporary freedom. In the fainting, temporary freedom. Temporary freedom means there is no experience of pairs of opposites. There is no samsara. Then you are free. You are not bound in deep sleep state. That is why we all love sleep. We don't want to get up from sleep. When you fast asleep, you don't want to get up from sleep. Always it takes some time for us to wake up from sleep. When you're fast asleep, the midnight, nobody wants to be woken up. And when you're fast asleep, nobody would like to be disturbed. Because disturbing your sleep is what? Disturbing your freedom. You're free. But only difference is, in sleep, when you faint, somebody faints or somebody is in sleep, somebody is in samadhi, the freedom a person enjoys is not known. You are free not knowing you are free. In sleep, you are free, but not knowing you are free. In when you faint, you are free, not knowing you are free. You know, in samadhi, you are free, not knowing you are free. But you must be free knowing you are free. That is why we have to work for knowledge. Is it clear? We need not work for moksha, but we need to work for jnanam. Is it clear? For jnana, for moksha, what we need is jnanam, not work. Therefore, we need not work for moksha. We need to work for jnanam. Jnanam is moksha. Is it clear? And whereas, so the idea is, there is freedom. So why can't we sleep then? In sleep you are free. In samadhi you are free. That is why people want to meditate and meditate. They want to have the practice. They want to have be in samadhi experience always. Unfortunately, in samadhi, the freedom you have, you are free not knowing you are free. So being free, not knowing I am free, is of no use. You must be free knowing you are free. You're always free. Unfortunately, you do not know you are free. In sleep, you are free, not knowing you are free. In samadhi, you are free, not knowing you are free. In waking, you are free. Unfortunately, not only you do not know you are free, you think you are bound in waking. See the problem? You are always free. Unfortunately, in waking state, you are free. But you do not, if you do not know you are free, it's okay. But you think you are bound in waking. Therefore, there's error in your thinking. Therefore, what he wants to establish is, so satyapi bahyarthe swapnado naraha badhyate. Man goes through pairs of opposites. Man is bound in dream etc. Even though the external world doesn't exist for a person who is in dream. And here, samadhi supti murchasu, the person who has samadhi experience, who is in deep sleep state, or who has fainted, in all these experiences, a person has during fainting or in sleep or in samadhi, satyapi asmin, even though the external world does exist, for him still he is not bound. He is free, does not go through pairs of opposites because the internal world of thoughts, the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts is not there. Therefore, where is bondage now? What causes the bondage? Not the external world. It is the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts causes bondage. Okay, why does the world obtaining in the form of thoughts cause bondage? That we have to see. Duradesham gate putre jivate vatra tatpita vipralam bhakavakena mritam matva praroditi. Beautiful. So, then why does the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts causes samsara? The internal world of internal world, obtaining him of thoughts is not there in samadhi, in sleep, in fainting, then there is no bondage. In dream, the internal world, obtaining of thoughts is there, even then the person suffers. Which means, why does it cause? For which Vidyarana Swami gives a beautiful example in the 34th verse. Duradesham gate putre jivati eva atra tatpita pravalambhaka vapkena mritamatva prarodhiti. The son has gone far away to another place. And the father, even though the son is alive, the son is alive, is somewhere in some other far away place. He's gone far away, he's alive, he's living there. Duradesham gate putre jivati. Jivati eva. In spite of his son who has gone far away to another place and who is still alive. Atra tat pita prarodhiti. But his father is crying. Why is his father crying? Mritam matva. Thinking the son has died. Thinking matva. Mritam matva. The father thinks son is no more. He is still, even though son is alive, he is far away, he is still alive. But the father is crying, thinking the son is no more. Mritam matva prarodhiti. Why does he cry? Why does he think the son is no more? Pralambaka vakyena. Pralambaka vakyam means vadanti. Pralambaka vakyam means what? A sentence which goes from one person to another person. By the time it comes to the last person, comes a different, completely different sentence. This is called a rumor. Pralambaka vakya means a sentence which goes from one mouth to another, one mouth and to many ears, and finally it gets converted into a different sentence. It's called vadanti. All people talk. Vadanti. Vadati, vadataha, vadanti. And then many people talk. Vadanti is rumor. What's the rumor? Palambaka vakyena. Just by some rumor, he mistakes the son to be dead. He mistakes the son to be dead. Then he is crying for that son. Even though his son is healthy, happy, alive, somewhere far away. What causes the fathers? What causes the sorrow of the father? What causes the sorrow? Does son's death cause the sorrow? Son is not dead, he's alive. But the father's thinking that son has died. The father's thinking the son is dead, that makes him cry. What causes the sorrow, what makes the father cry, is not the son's death, but father's thinking that son is dead. The thought which makes him cry, it is not the death of the son which makes him cry. Okay, we'll see the rest in the next class. I think I had to say a lot more here. I want to make one thing very clear: the process of knowledge. That is not the part of this lesson. The whole idea is, the topic of this chapter is, the creation of Ishvara is not responsible for our bondage. It is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam which causes the bondage. What is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam? and how to resolve it in Ishvara Srishtam, etc. is the lesson. Therefore, I did not pay attention to the process of knowledge. But even the Vidyaranya Swami used that process of knowledge to make us understand a bit. So the different topic, I will take care of it somehow in the following classes.